Ends of his $1.9 trillion relief plan, President Biden made it unmistakably clear that he will not budge on the size and scope of his package. The president pointed to the January jobs report to bolster his belief that the country needs every dollar that he's asking for.
Fox's Christian Fisher. Something that likely won't make it into the final package, a proposal to raise the federal minimum wage to $15 an hour. The president says he'll pursue that in a separate bill. The Supreme Court hands a partial victory to houses of worship in California. The state can no longer bar indoor church services because of the pandemic.
The order does not lift the 25% capacity restrictions, nor allow for singing and chanting, measures the churches were also seeking. The High Court's three liberal justices dissented.
Fox's Sean Langell. Security protocols will be reviewed by the U.S. Air Force after a man gained access to a plane at Joint Base Andrews outside Washington.
The man, who the Air Force says had several warrants for his arrest, was caught exiting a C-40 plane like the one used by the vice president, defense secretary, and congressional leaders. The 737-style plane has an exterior that looks similar to Air Force One. We now have learned the Air Force has launched an IG investigation and worldwide review of security measures at Air Force bases.
Fox's Jennifer Griffin. America's listening to Fox News.
Chris Plant here for Low Vision Specialists, led by Dr. Thomas Asman. Since 1975, they designed special glasses to give you back the gift of sight when traditional glasses can no longer help. They've helped so many people, people like Glenda.
When I lost my vision, my day-to-day life ground to a halt. But when I discovered Low Vision Specialists, I really regained my independence. The biggest joy was that with these glasses, I can drive again.
If you've been diagnosed with macular degeneration or are suffering from diabetes, cataracts, or a stroke, call the doctors at Low Vision Specialists of Maryland and Virginia today, 301-321-7008. 301-321-7008. If they can't help you, there's no fee for you. Call 301-321-7008 or visit lowvisionmd.org.
From big cities to small towns, education at all levels has been greatly impacted by the coronavirus pandemic. That's why the Biden administration plans to start collecting data every month from 7,000 schools. The biggest question is how many schools have returned to in-person instruction. Many states have been collecting their own data, but there hasn't been a federal effort. In Chicago, another weekend of uncertainty for parents, students, and teachers as negotiations over school safety protocols hit another roadblock.
Chicago Teachers Union officials say things broke down after Mayor Lori Lightfoot and school district officials walked away from the bargaining table. Hours earlier, the mayor and the Chicago Public Schools CEO said in a statement that they'd made their, quote, last, best, and final offer, one the union calls inadequate. At issue is a deadline that was set by the city for teachers to return to the classroom earlier this week, and one sticking point has been teacher vaccinations. The city has agreed to 1,500 teacher doses per week, but the union wanted the assurance of more if the city gets more doses. Tanya J. Powers, Fox News.
42 years in Washington may have been enough for a long-serving senator.
Alabama Republican Richard Shelby has told friends he does not plan to run for re-election next year, the Associated Press reports. At 86 years old, Shelby is one of the most senior Republicans in the Senate, first elected as a conservative Democrat in 1986 before switching parties in 1994. Prior to serving in the Senate, Shelby served in the House. He spent the past 2 years as chairman of the powerful Senate Appropriations Committee.
Fox's Jared Halpern. The last undecided congressional contest is over. A judge in New York says Republican Claudia Tenney has defeated House Democrat Anthony Brindisi. A state appeals court could still intervene. Pam Puso, Fox News.
In Maryland and Colesville, watch out for an accident right now. Westbound on the Intercounty Connector at Briggs Cheney Road, the right lane is blocked, so stay to your left and use caution there. Heads up if you're traveling on the Beltway in Bethesda, inner loop between River Road and the 270 spur. There is some road work along the two left lanes, but so far that is not causing any delays. And there is a ramp restriction to be aware of on the outer loop at the ramp to go on to westbound 66. The right lane is blocked on that ramp, so that could cause a slow merge. Now from GarageDoorRepair.com, the WML Stormwatch 7 forecast.
It's not a bad start to Saturday for us here in the DMV. With temperatures around freezing, we'll warm nicely in the morning sun. Highs this afternoon reach around the 50-degree mark as clouds increase and our next weather maker moves in overnight tonight. Stormwatch 7 is on weather alert tomorrow for accumulating snow of 1 to 3 inches, mainly in the morning hours. I'm ABC 7 meteorologist Rachel Kay with the Stormwatch 7 weather team.
Transparency and trust, clarity and value, understanding risk. Are you getting these things from your financial advisor? Hi, this is Simon Hamilton, co-host of the Wise Investor Show. Heard every Sunday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. right here on WMAL. Having a financial partner who understands what's important to you can make a big difference.
Simon Hamilton and the Wise Investor Group are affiliated with Robert W. Baird & Company, Incorporated. To reach Simon, call 866-758-9473 or log on to thewiseinvestorgroup.com and resolve to become a better informed Wise Investor.
Thinking about life insurance? What if you could make one free phone call and learn your best price from nearly a dozen highly rated price competitive companies? Well, that's exactly what happens when you call SelectQuote Life. For example, George is 40. He was getting sky-high quotes from other companies because he takes meds to control his blood pressure. But when I shopped around, I found him a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $25 a month. I'm SelectQuote agent Dan Savino. And believe me, if SelectQuote isn't shopping for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 800-573-9552. That's 800-573-9552. 800-573-9552. Or go to SelectQuote.com. Since 1985, we shop, you save.
Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
It's a podcast about money, but Stacking Benjamins not only has great financial insight, it's laid back with humor too.
Prince's estate undervalued by $80 million. What a mess. He didn't have a plan ahead of time to minimize the tax, but now he has a court system. Everybody's being paid by the hour. You think this is going to drag on for a while?
Yeah, you think?
An estate plan is just something that you have to do.
Listen and subscribe to Stacking Benjamins on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your shows.
Hi, this is Joe Cordell with the law firm Cordell & Cordell. Divorce can be complicated, especially if children are involved. If you're a father and want to protect your role in your children's lives, remember Cordell & Cordell. We've helped men with matters like these for 30 years, and we'd love to help you.
Contact the domestic litigation firm of Cordell & Cordell to schedule an appointment with one of our firm's Fairfax area attorneys, a partner men can count on. Online at CordellCordell.com. That's CordellCordell.com. Office in Falls Church.
Financial advisors, remember when your job was fun? I'm Ron Kruszewski, CEO of Stifel, and at our firm, it still is fun. Here, you'll find the culture and values of the past, along with the technology and vision of the future. Stifel is a firm built by advisors for advisors, a place where you can better serve your clients and have some fun again in our business. Visit ChooseStifel.com to learn more about the investment firm you've been waiting for.
Now, the Saturday Morning Update. 105.9 FM,
WMAL. Good morning. It is the Saturday Morning Update. I'm Rick Fowler. Jeff Wolf is behind the console. Jane Houghton, our producer this morning. And it is Super Bowl weekend. Maybe that's something we can look at positively. The Buccaneers and the Chiefs will face off tomorrow, and of course, Patrick Mahomes against Tom Brady in the quarterback slot. So, that's some good news. The rest of the news, I'm not so positive about, I guess. It's been another one of those weeks. And, try and put it all in perspective. Remember how the entire Biden campaign was the return to normalcy and the return to civility and unifying the country. I mean, just remember that was sort of what we were promised here, right? Well, it's been anything but. As an example, even the latest example, President Biden sat down for an interview with Norah O'Donnell on CBS for the Super Bowl. Now, this is an interview that's going to air around the country to many, many people that don't follow the daily ins and outs and the daily machinations of things going on in Washington and the craziness that we deal with inside the Beltway, and those of us that are staunch listeners to conservative talk radio and follow CNN and MSNBC and Fox News. Now, these are average people that aren't tuned into all this, but they're going to tune into the Super Bowl and they're going to see President Joe Biden. And I don't know why Norah O'Donnell asked him, but she asked him about whether President Trump should be offered the courtesy of defense briefings, which all former presidents have had that courtesy extended to them by their successor. However, here's how Joe Biden answered the question when asked by Norah O'Donnell.
I just think that there is no need for him to have that intelligence briefing.
So if there are 70-some million Trump supporters around the country, many of whom are watching the Super Bowl, that's just going to tick them off, because it ticked me off. On a principle of any former president, whether it's Trump or whoever, just the principle that, you know, oh, you're not going to extend the former president that courtesy? So here we go, ticking off everybody that's a former Trump supporter in the middle of the Super Bowl. Now, if that didn't get you going, I mean, some of the stuff going on out there this week. So there is talk now of a $10,000 forgiveness of student loans that is now shot up to talk of $50,000 in student loans. And I did the math, because there are 36 million outstanding student loans, and I'm not sure that all of them are $50,000, but let's say a bunch of them are. If you do the math, there are so many zeros behind that. When you multiply 36 million by 50,000, I can't even tell you what the number is, because there's so many zeros behind it. And what that tells me is it's going to come out of your pocket and it's going to come out of my pocket, because I don't think the Harvard Endowment Fund is going to pick up the tab on that. So be prepared for student loan debt repayment payoffs and what that means to your taxes when that's done, not to mention what they'll do to the capital gains tax and probably income tax, and what's going to happen at the gas pump with gasoline tax, which Pete Buttigieg, our incoming transportation secretary, has talked about. Haven't been raised since 1993, so might as well do it now. Why not? So that's just an example. Now, another story, the Chiron I'm looking at on CNN. Chinese diplomat takes hard line in call to Secretary of State Blinken. Well, that's good news. The Chinese are testing us there. They've been testing us as well with Taiwan. So where does that go? Again, Chinese diplomat takes hard line in call to Secretary Blinken. So they're clearly testing Joe Biden. That's not particularly encouraging. We don't see a whole effort toward unity when it comes to the stimulus package, the COVID relief package. The Democrats seem pretty well set to go it alone without the Republican support if they don't get their way. So if the Democrats don't get their way, it's going to be another one of those 50-50 votes with Vice President Harris as the tiebreaker. Now, here's what Joe Biden had to say about jobs, and I think it's kind of ironic that he's talking about jobs. This was yesterday, and he's talking about jobs, but keep in mind as you listen to this, how many jobs did he cost when he canceled the Keystone XL pipeline? How many jobs did he cost when he banned fracking on federal lands? Well, here's what he has to say about jobs.
January job numbers came out today. And while we're grateful for everyone who found work and is earning a paycheck, it's very clear our economy is still in trouble. We added just 6,000 private sector jobs in the country last month. These aren't Democrats or Republicans, they're Americans, and they're suffering. They're suffering not because of anything they did. Through no fault of their own, they're suffering. I see enormous pain in this country. A lot of folks out of work. A lot of folks going hungry, staring at the ceiling tonight, wondering, what am I going to do tomorrow? A lot of folks trying to figure out how to keep their jobs.
Well, you put thousands of people out of work your first day in office. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure all of this out. Well, if that doesn't make you feel good, maybe Elizabeth Warren can brighten your spirits this morning. Remember, we were getting a centrist president, a moderate president, the unifier. Well, here's how Elizabeth Warren views it.
Joe Biden ran on the most progressive agenda ever. And now he is meeting the moment. And we need to continue to hold everyone accountable to the promises that have been made. It's a good time.
Maybe for you, not necessarily for a lot of other people. We'll continue. But first, let's check the latest on the traffic and weather. Michelle Murray's in the WMAL Traffic Center this morning.
In Maryland, you will still find some accident activity on the Intercounty Connector westbound at Briggs Cheney Road, where the right lane is blocked. So stay to your left and use extra caution there. Also, if you're traveling on the Beltway in Bethesda on the inner loop between River Road headed towards the spur, you will find construction along the left side of the roadway. And on the outer loop at the off-ramp to go on to 66 westbound, the right lane of that ramp is blocked, so watch out for a brief delay through that ramp closure. Also, watch out for some construction on 66 east and westbound at Fair Oaks. This should be in place until at least 7 o'clock this morning. Now from GarageDoorRepair.com, the WMAL Stormwatch 7 forecast.
It's not a bad start to Saturday for us here in the DMV. With temperatures around freezing, we'll warm nicely in the morning sun. Highs this afternoon reach around the 50-degree mark as clouds increase and our next weather maker moves in overnight tonight. Stormwatch 7 is on weather alert tomorrow for accumulating snow of 1 to 3 inches, mainly in the morning hours. I'm ABC 7 meteorologist Rachel Kay with the Stormwatch 7 weather team.
It's 34 degrees, 617 in the nation's capital.
Washington's Mall, WMAL, where Washington comes to talk.
It's the Saturday Morning Update. I'm Rick Fowler. Thank you for joining us this morning. And over the years, there's a sort of a comic publication. It was like, who's in charge here? And that's the question that I think many people are asking now. And I heard Jen Psaki say something. Of course, she's the new White House press secretary. She said something earlier in the week, and it's only 8 seconds, but I think says something here. Now, I could be totally reading something wrong here, and I may be way off base, but you listen to what she has to say, and you interpret what she has to say. She's talking about President Biden meeting with the Republicans who came over to discuss the COVID relief package. He's got a group of Republicans in the White House, and maybe they could work a deal or something. I don't know. I mean, they're there to talk about the package and come up with something. Well, here's how Jen Psaki addressed what was going on.
He's happy to have a conversation with them. What this meeting is not is a forum for the president to make or accept an offer.
So it's not a forum for the president to make or accept an offer. Well, that sounds innocent enough, but then I get to thinking, well, does that mean he's got to check it with who? Who does he have to check it with? If the president could have whacked a deal, why wouldn't he whack a deal? It sounds like he's not allowed to whack his own deals. Now, I could be totally wrong on that. Maybe I'm reading. Play it one more time, Jeff. Let people decide for themselves.
He's happy to have a conversation with them. What this meeting is not is a forum for the president to make or accept an offer.
But I thought he was the negotiator because he was the former senator for 200 years. I mean, wouldn't, if anybody, be able to whack a deal with senators? Wouldn't it be a former senator with all those great relationships that, you know, everybody's all palsy? Okay. Well, speaking of palsy, it's been anything but palsy between members of Congress this week. And you may have heard this dust up, and I'll try and keep it short. What happened? Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez got on an Instagram chat early in the week, and she was talking about the experience that she had when the riot was taking place at the Capitol. Now, she was in the Cannon Office Building, which is at about a 10-minute walk from the U.S. Capitol. So she's in her office, 10 minutes away or so from the Capitol, and here's how she described her experience.
I jump into my bathroom, and I close the door, and I just keep hearing these bang, bang, bang. I open the door when all of a sudden I hear that whoever was trying to get inside got into my office. And I just hear, where is she? Where is she? And this was the moment where I thought everything was over. I mean, I thought I was going to die.
It's not abundantly clear right now, but I believe the narrative is that that person banging on the door ultimately turned out to be a U.S. Capitol policeman checking on her. If indeed that was the story, maybe she should not be continuing this narrative 3 weeks later. Now, she has said that she is a victim of sexual assault in the past, and there has been discussion that the victims of sexual assault sometimes relive things and interpret things in a different manner because of the abuse that they suffered, and that's fine, I'll go with that. But Republican Congresswoman Nancy Mace, she's newly in the Congress from South Carolina, her office is two doors down from Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez in the Cannon House office building. Here's what Nancy Mace had to say about AOC's story.
I'm not going to discount the trauma, the harrowing experiences each of us had who were here that day. It was a very scary experience. To politicize this kind of an event, that was a dark day in our nation's history. To politicize it in the way that she has is disgusting. No one should tolerate it.
The other big news of the week, I'm not sure how closely you followed this, but it is Marjorie Taylor Greene. She is the new congresswoman from Georgia. And she had made a lot of comments that have raised a lot of eyebrows. And she was stripped of her committee positions by the Democrats, not by the Republicans. And it's created a lot of controversy, and we don't have time really to get into the nature of her comments and, you know, how you feel about those comments. It's more kind of an issue of the procedure in the House of Representatives that has created a lot of controversy. Kevin McCarthy, of course, is the Republican leader in the House of Representatives. And here's how Kevin McCarthy addressed this when he addressed his colleagues about this treatment, stripping her of her committee positions. And this is Kevin McCarthy. This is cut in. And this is what he had to say to his colleagues.
You'll regret this. And you may regret this a lot sooner than you think. If that's the new standard, if people are held to what they are said prior to even being in this House, if majority party gets to decide who sits on what other committees, I hope you keep that standard, because we have a long list you can work within your own.
So that's a sense of some of the back and forth in the House of Representatives this week. If you catch some of the news stories, there's a lot of talk of the civil war within the Republican Party and how the Republican Party is coming apart at the seams over President Trump and Marjorie Taylor Greene, everything else. Well, there's also some discord over on the Democrat side. And this is something that happened earlier in the week, but I think it is somewhat telling, and it could be telling of what may happen in the future as Democrats go in different directions and they maybe have some infighting on their side. Now, this is Vice President Harris. She's addressing the Keystone Pipeline job loss and redirecting those jobs into different energy sectors, such as solar panels or whatever. And she's speaking on local television stations in West Virginia. The only problem is nobody told the Democratic senator from West Virginia that she would be doing this. So here's what she had to say. She says landmines at the end, and I'm not going to make fun of her for calling coal mines landmines, but that didn't go over too well either. It's a simple slip, but you'll hear that at the end of it. But anyway, Vice President Harris.
When you talk to him about climate change, the first thing that he talks about is job creation. Job creation around, for example, all of those skilled workers who are in the coal industry and transferring those skills to what we need to do in terms of dealing with reclaiming abandoned landmines.
So that's Vice President Harris. Well, how did that go over with Senator Joe Manchin, the Democrat from West Virginia?
I saw it. I couldn't believe it. No one called me. We're going to try to find a bipartisan pathway forward. I think we need to, but we need to work together. That's not a way of working together, what was done.
So he was not pleased about that. He had a further conversation with the president about it. So I imagine they'll smooth that one out. But, you know, it's not all hunky-dory over on the Democrat side. We'll see how all this plays out, but the demise of the Republican Party, I'm not sure we're quite there yet. Real quick, before we cut out, I'm going to call an audible here. The Chicago schools, a couple of things going on in the school systems, and I didn't think we'd have time to get it, but we'll squeeze it in real quick. And that is, in Chicago, they've been back and forth, and the school union and the mayor can't work it out. And here's what Mayor Lori Lightfoot had to say about what's going on in Chicago schools.
And let me remind you of the over $100 million in mitigations that CPS has invested in our schools to make them safe. They included ventilation, testing, health screening, face coverings, enhanced cleaning, and other in-school safety measures. And as the expression goes, the proof is in the pudding. CPS had 3 weeks of successful implementation of these mitigation plans in our schools. That was until the CTU blew up that success and created chaos that we are now enduring.
So when you have a Democratic mayor in Chicago having a fight with the Chicago Teachers Union, there's a little infighting on the Democratic side. In San Francisco, the mayor is upset. Her name is London Breed. The city of San Francisco is suing the school board. Check this out.
The school board has alienated parents and made national news for their focus on renaming 44 of our schools, all while there wasn't a plan to reopen those very same schools.
So the mayor in San Francisco is that upset with the school board that the city is suing the school board, another democratically run city. So just to put it all in perspective, because it's not perspective that you will get in many, many media outlets these days. We're coming up on 6:30. It's the Saturday morning update on WMAO. We got a lot to cover. Jim Trusty will be with us, and he'll run down the upcoming impeachment trial of President Trump, what to expect there. KT McFarland's coming up, Cheryl Atkinson, Jennifer Harper, Tony Schaefer, all on the way, as well as John Gizzi. Stay with us.
What's keeping you up at night? For many baby boomers, it's questions about retirement. Hi, I'm Abe Abish, founder of Abish Financial Services, and along with my team, I want to help you rest easier by providing useful knowledge to address the concerns you have now while offering ideas on ways you can work to achieve your financial goals in the years ahead. Join me here on WMAL, Saturday afternoon at 2 for Retirement Key Radio, and connect anytime at retirementkeyradio.com.
Let me tell you about something called the One Subject Plan. If you have a son in middle or high school, you want to hear this. Vince Colonnais here, and I've been telling you about Fork Union Military Academy for a while now. But one of the best things about Fork Union is the One Subject Plan. You see, in most schools, students juggle 4 to 6 classes every single day. 45 minutes of math, maybe, or 45 minutes of science. You get the picture. At Fork Union, they divide the school year up into 5 grading terms of about 7 weeks each. Each grading term, the student takes one class with just one teacher. The student focuses on that one class all day, every day, for the whole term. The One Subject Plan immerses students in each of their subjects. Concentration goes up, learning goes up, grades go up. It really works. You can learn more about this by going to onesubjectplan.com. That's onesubjectplan.com.
This is Dr. Tom Rozelle. After 43 years of practice and over a million patient visits, the Rozelle Center for Healing knows what works and knows how you can take control of your health and wellness. My team of doctors practice 21st century integrative medicine. Whether you suffer from chronic pain and fatigue, allergies or headaches, we can help. Take charge of your health before it's too late. Make an appointment today. Call 703-698-7117 or visit online at rozellecare.com. That's rozellecare.com.
Trust is a big issue when selling your home. Hi, it's Vince and Mary for the team we trust, Sarah and Debbie Reynolds, the Reynolds team with Keller Williams Realty. Moving can be one of the most stressful situations you will ever deal with. So if you're planning to sell, eliminate tons of stress by calling the Reynolds team.
Less stress means no hassles. With thousands of five-star reviews online, the Reynolds provide incredible service and communication. You'll be blown away with their unique systems and the ways they get you the most money possible for your home.
Who else has over 12,000 ready buyers in waiting or is willing to sell your home at 100% of your list price or pay you the difference? The Wall Street Journal ranks the Reynolds team number one, and so do we.
Call 844-344-SOLD. That's 844-344-SOLD or visit DebbieHasTheBuyers.com. DebbieHasTheBuyers.com. That's DebbieHasTheBuyers.com.
I like a bed that's really firm.
I need something a little softer than that.
Rest easy. With the Sleep Number 360 Smart Bed, you can both adjust your comfort with your sleep number setting.
Can it really help me fall asleep faster?
Yes, by gently warming your feet.
Okay, but can it help keep us asleep?
It senses your movements and automatically adjusts to keep you effortlessly comfortable. Sleep Number. Proven quality sleep is life-changing sleep. Don't miss our weekend special. Save 50% on the Sleep Number 360 Limited Edition Smart Bed. Plus special financing on all smart beds. Ends Monday. To learn more, go to sleepnumber.com. Special financing subject to credit approval. Minimum monthly payments required. See store for details.
Based on the recent stock market slide, do you feel your money and investments are safe? Would a repeat of the market losses you experienced earlier in the year or in 2002 and 2008 derail your family's retirement plans? It's time to make a U-turn on your retirement strategy. This Sunday at 1 p.m., tune in to the U-Turn Equity Financial Hour with Tucker and Blake. They'll cover these financial topics and, more importantly, share little-known strategies to keep your money safe and discuss tax-free income. Join the conversation this Sunday at 1 p.m.
Celebrate the 55th edition of the Big Game with exclusive 55-to-1 odds on FanDuel Sportsbook. Vince here, and if you've never tried FanDuel before, new users can bet on either team and get 55-to-1 odds when Tampa Bay plays Kansas City. That's right. You can bet $5 and win $275 if you pick the winner of the Big Game on February 7th. I've been betting football on FanDuel, and I love how easy to use it is. It's easy to register, easy to deposit, easy to find your bet. And they also offer fast withdrawals when you win. FanDuel pays your winnings in as little as 24 hours. FanDuel also offers a range of betting options, live betting, odds boosts, and specials. Just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app and use promo code VINCEC to get started. That's FanDuel Sportsbook. Promo code VINCEC.
Must be 21 plus and present in Virginia. New users only. Must wager on designated boost market. Deposit required. Max bonus $275. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Whether you're buying a home or trying to lower your interest rate, finding the right mortgage company is often stressful and time-consuming. Listen this Saturday to the Mortgage Radio Show at 1 p.m. and now on Sunday at 3 p.m. The Mortgage Radio Show is your trusted source for mortgage news. Every weekend, host Teresa Strasser and Sean Metter will give you helpful tools for finding the right mortgage product to fit your needs. So tune in to WMAL every Saturday at 1 p.m. or Sunday at 3 p.m. for the latest rates and information from Network Capital Funding here on WMAL.
Five, time for a check of the traffic and weather. Michelle Murray's in the WMAL Traffic Center.
In Colesville, there is still some accident activity westbound on the Intercounty Connector at Briggs Cheney Road in the right lane, so stay to your left and be careful through that area. Also, a heads up in Loudoun County, there was a closure of the Jefferson Pike near Chestnut Hill Road. Traffic is being directed on Virginia Route 671, so just follow police direction around that. Also, on the outer loop at the off-ramp to go on to westbound 66, the right lane is blocked on that ramp for a long-term construction project. Now from GarageDoorRepair.com, the WMAL Stormwatch 7 forecast.
It's not a bad start to Saturday for us here in the DMV. Temperatures around freezing will warm nicely in the morning sun. Highs this afternoon reach around the 50-degree mark as clouds increase and our next weather maker moves in overnight tonight. Stormwatch 7 is on weather alert tomorrow for accumulating snow of 1 to 3 inches, mainly in the morning hours. I'm ABC 7 meteorologist Rachel Kay with the Stormwatch 7 weather team.
34 degrees in the nation's capital, 636 on the Saturday Morning Update.
Washington's Mall, WMAL, where Washington comes to talk.
It is the Saturday Morning Update. It's great to have you with us. I'm Rick Fowler, and we are joined by Jennifer Harper. Each week, she writes Inside the Beltway at the Washington Times. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning.
So former President Trump out of the White House and out of the spotlight. It's been kind of quiet in the media.
Well, certainly the media is now missing Trump, just as you say. And it's affecting their coverage. It has affected their coverage since he since inauguration. So here's what's going on. This is how the media is actually reacting to that. Trump's been unplugged. Now what? That is what the New Yorker asks. The reporters who got famous fighting with Trump are facing a question. What do we do now? That was what the Atlantic had to say. Trump is gone. Biden is here. What happens now? That came from the Poynter Institute. That's actually an academic source. And some of the news organizations really are facing some serious concerns here because just this week we found out that CNN's ratings, they were riding high. They lost their ratings. And that came from Variety. CNN's primetime ratings fall back to earth in first post-Trump week. And they found out that CNN's viewership dropped by 44% during primetime, while Fox News saw its own ratings dip only slightly. And here's what Variety says about that. While it's too early to conclude any longer-term directions for news ratings after just 1 week, the downturn could be interpreted as an indicator of what many industry observers have anticipated. With Biden in the White House, networks that have spent the last 4 years railing consistently against Trump have lost the main attraction that energized their audience bases, making it difficult to hold on to the elevated viewing levels. And again, that's coming from Variety. That's a major industry source. But as you and I and our listeners know, that's probably all going to change on Monday when the big trial starts.
Hillary Clinton certainly made a lot of headlines with her podcast. Now a former president and a former vice president are jumping into.
Yeah, that seems to be the thing to do. Indeed, former President Bill Clinton has debuted his first national podcast, and he has partnered with iHeartMedia. And if you don't know who iHeartMedia is, so naturally Bill Clinton is going to have his podcast. I listened to some of it. It wasn't too bad. His guest was Wynton Marsalis. And they talked all about jazz, and their topic was called How Jazz Explains Democracy. But anyway, Mr. Clinton got kind of down home and talked about growing up in Arkansas and how he used to listen to all his relatives and neighbors tell stories. And he said that showed me that everyone has a story and that everyone's story has value. So anyway, he's got a podcast. But as you mentioned before, former Vice President Mike Pence also has a podcast. It hasn't been revealed who's carrying that or what he's going to do, but that's the thing to do for former presidents and vice presidents. Go have a podcast.
You know, prior to the election, conservative media was covering some stories that could have been potentially scandalous for Joe Biden and his family. They did a pretty good job in mainstream media of covering up those stories. But how do the American people feel about the potential for scandal in this administration?
Well, you have to hand it to the American people because you may think folks are just not watching, but I think that they are. I have for you this morning a interesting poll from The Economist and YouGov. This was conducted very recently, January 24th through 26th. They literally asked U.S. adults whether they thought the Biden administration will be free of scandals. Here's the numbers. Only 34% of U.S. adults think the Biden administration will be largely free of major scandals. And that includes 8% of Republicans, 25% of independents. Of course, 65% of Democrats agree with that. 24% think that the Biden administration will have, quote, many major scandals. Let's go down to the next one. 22% overall think the Biden administration will have a major scandal or two. And interestingly enough, 21% are not sure yet, but we'll have to check back with them in a couple of months, perhaps. But essentially, only a third of Americans at this point thinks that the Biden administration will be just put living fancy free and having a good time without any major scandals. So that's your poll on the Biden administration for today.
Florida Governor Ron DeSantis gets quite a bit of attention in the media, and he got some extra attention this week, I understand.
Yeah, he has gotten a lot of talk this week, and certainly a lot of people are speculating about his interest in running for president in 2024. Of course, that's a long way off, but here is a review of Governor Ron DeSantis and how he deals with the media. And this is coming from Stephen Cruiser. He's a columnist for PJ Media, always an interesting and energetic kind of guy. He says, can Ron DeSantis teach media relations to weak Republicans? I thought, yeah, well, he'd have a lot of students in his class, wouldn't he? He says DeSantis has heeded his own instincts rather than react to the shrieking of the Democrats and their hysterical flying monkeys in the media. That's precisely what the Republican Party needs. Leaders who don't fall for the false promise of respect from the mainstream media. Again, this is coming from Stephen Cruiser of PJ Media. He says, ignore the mainstream hacks. Push back legally against the social media barons when possible. If only DeSantis could impress that attitude upon his fellow Republicans. Some are getting the vibe. South Dakota Governor Kristi Noem comes to mind. But a lot more need to get with a program of the GOP will be relegated to a double masked Democrat mandate hell forever, or until China occupies the United States. Again, that's coming from Stephen Cruiser. Strong words there, but people might want to take a peek at how Ron DeSantis does handle the media.
You know, with the onset of COVID-19, I think we've all been looking for different things to do. I mean, it gets a little old doing the same old thing and having the same old hobbies. Something new in Maryland?
Well, yes, it was actually new this week. This has never been done in Maryland before. But the Maryland Department of Natural Resources staged the state's first primitive deer hunt. I didn't know what that was, but the Maryland Department of Natural Resources explained it to all. This was a three-day event, and here's what they had to say. Hunters with a valid hunting license, or those exempt from the hunting license requirement, may use primitive bows or muzzle loaders to hunt sika and white-tailed deer during these days. This is coming from the state of Maryland. Primitive hunting devices are defined as long bows, recurve bows, flint locks, or sidelock percussion muzzle loaders. Hunters may not use compound bows, crossbows, draw locks, and telescopic or other electronic aiming devices. However, fiber optic sights are permitted on otherwise legal primitive bows or muzzle loaders. The newly created primitive deer hunt will give deer hunters one last opportunity to enjoy their favorite pastime. That came from Wildlife and Heritage Service Director Paul Pedito. That he said that in a statement. He said the purposeful timing of this season allows deer hunters to experience more challenging hunting conditions using low-tech hunting devices. I kind of thought that was a cultural moment for one all. First time it was done in Maryland, but reading all about the crossbows and sidelock percussion muzzle loaders was very interesting, I thought.
What'll they think of next? Jennifer Harper, Inside the Beltway at the Washington Times. Thank you, as always.
It's my pleasure. Have a good weekend, everybody.
Thank you. It's 6:45. It's the Saturday morning update on WMAL. Up next, we'll talk with Jim Trusty, and we will get the real deep dive preview of what to expect in the impeachment trial, which begins on Tuesday. That's next. But first, Michelle Murray's in the WMAL Traffic Center.
In Virginia, Loudoun County, watch out for an incident now that has 340, the Jefferson Pike closed in both directions near Chestnut Hill Road. Watch for police direction around that. Traffic is being directed onto Route 671. Also in Colesville, Maryland, there is still an accident westbound on the Intercounty Connector at Briggs Chaney Road, and that is blocking the right lane. Also watch out for the roadwork on the inner loop between River Road and the spur along the left side. Now from GarageDoorRepair.com, the WMAL Stormwatch 7 forecast.
It's not a bad start to Saturday for us here in the DMV. With temperatures around freezing, we'll warm nicely in the morning sun. Highs this afternoon reach around the 50-degree mark as clouds increase and our next weather maker moves in overnight tonight. Stormwatch 7 is on weather alert tomorrow for accumulating snow of 1 to 3 inches, mainly in the morning hours. I'm ABC 7 meteorologist Rachel Kay with the Stormwatch 7 weather team.
34 degrees in the nation's capital on WMAL.
Hi, this is Greg Smith of the Wise Investor Group. For over 20 years, we've taken important steps to ensure we remain ready to meet the investment and wealth management needs of our clients. We expect the financial markets to remain uncertain until more is known about the virus and its full impact on the global economy. We'll be keeping you informed in the weeks ahead as the situation continues to unfold. You'll find updates, including commentary from our market experts at thewiseinvestorgroup.com.
Call 866-758-9473 or log on to thewiseinvestorgroup.com and resolve to become a better informed wise investor.
It is a Saturday morning update on WMAL. I'm Rick Fowler. Of course, the impeachment trial of former President Trump in the Senate begins on Tuesday. We're joined by Jim Trustee. He is a partner at IFRA Law. He is the former chief of the organized crime and gang section at the U.S. Department of Justice. Jim, good morning.
Good morning, Rick.
So Tuesday morning, what do we expect to see? Let's talk about number one. What will the prosecution present? Tell us a little bit about the format and their case to be presented.
Sure. Well, the biggest clue to their case comes from their House manager's brief, which was about 80 pages long. And it's an interesting document. It's not entirely persuasive to me, but it's obviously a very dedicated piece of advocacy. The first thing is about a third of it, maybe 25 pages, are devoted to talking about this idea of whether you can impeach an office holder after they've left that office. So they're talking about the Secretary of War being impeached in 1876 and being subject to disqualification even after he had resigned. They try to distinguish a 1797 impeachment where the Senate dismissed the removal proceedings after the guy quit. So there's a lot of kind of legalistic academic components to the brief. But the biggest part of it is just going really heavy on Trump and saying that he lied about the election. It includes some pretty salacious anonymous quotes from New York Times articles, and it basically argues that he was in a position to know that things would get violent on January 6th and that he verbally lit a match. Now, I think it's still very light on the issue of whether his actual words could be fairly construed as incitement to insurrection. And, again, they're essentially saying it doesn't matter if he said be peaceful, he really means violent. Which I know we're in a political setting, but in a court of law, this would be ludicrous. You can't just flip the meaning of the words to try to meet a statute. But I would say it does a couple of things pretty well from an advocacy perspective. The first is they use a lot of quotes from Republicans to blast Trump. So it's Liz Cheney, it's Trump-appointed judges. There's some pretty kind of cutesy moments of citing Republicans to say the worst things about President Trump. The other thing they do pretty well, and this is what I think leads to what you should expect Monday morning, is they really pull together the worst violence from January 6th, the worst descriptions, and put that in this account, including gouging eyes, using bear spray, the fire extinguisher being used to eventually kill a police officer. I suspect what you're going to see very soon into the proceedings is a very powerful video of the violence, and it's going to bring us right back to emotionalism, talking about how this was so horrible that it must be President Trump's fault as opposed to the individual rioters themselves.
So what are the rules of the Senate in an impeachment trial versus the rights you would have in a court of law? I mean, in a court of law, you're innocent until proven guilty. It seems like with Trump, you're guilty until he can prove himself innocent. What is the difference between a Senate trial and a trial in a court of law?
Yeah, night and day. That's really the problem I have with it. Because, again, if you think about the consequences, we're talking about disqualifying a person who might run again for the office of the presidency and a person that got somewhere in the neighborhood of 70 million votes. And so I'm a very kind of strict constructionist that this should not be done lightly. It should have some measure of due process. And so far, every appearance is that it won't. I mean, the Democrats are basically picking and choosing when they want to make it sound like a court proceeding. For instance, they say, well, of course there was no testimony in the House. This is just grand jury and prosecutor role. Well, grand juries still take evidence. So I think what we're going to see are very slick video presentations, summary testimony as opposed to actual testimony from firsthand witnesses, in other words, hearsay. And most recently, to go to your question about kind of constitutional overlay, Jamie Raskin sends a letter to the president basically saying you need to come and subject yourself to highly partisan cross-examination. And if you don't, there will be an adverse inference from your failure to appear and to defend yourself. So that's exactly what you're getting at with your question. It's amazing to basically say, yeah, we have this long history of Fifth Amendment privilege against self-incrimination. We don't hold it against you if you don't come to prove your innocence. And Raskin's trying to bait the president into doing that or penalizing him for absolving himself, or I should say, withstanding the temptation to go talk to the Senate.
So you lay out some points that the Democrats will play that may get traction. Where may they go that they might not get traction?
Well, I think there's a couple of overreaches in their petition. I'll be curious to see how far they actually go with it in terms of the litigation. I mean, for instance, they blame President Trump. One of the articles within the impeachment is basically saying he endangered national security because he's responsible for Nancy Pelosi's laptop being stolen out of the Senate. And I just think that's a bridge too far, right? There was certainly no organized plan that's being developed or exposed where President Trump said, while you're in there causing violent insurrection of the government, make sure you get Nancy's laptop. So I think that one's a real overreach. The other thing, and again, to me, it's just absurd. The petition basically, the article basically says that President Trump has emboldened racist groups who will now go target minorities. So as a basis for disqualification from the president, they've thrown down a race card in what seemed to be a race-free incident, as bad as it was. So I think there's a couple of moments there that are just kind of absurd. But the biggest fight, really, I think, is going to be on the issue of being a current office holder, the fact that he's already left office and how there's very little precedent, although there's obviously a conflict here, for pursuing disqualification for somebody who's not even in the White House anymore.
So what about the president's defense?
Well, the president filed a 14-page response or trial brief from the defense side. To me, it was a little bit of a missed opportunity. I mean, it reads like a response to a request for admissions in civil litigation. So it's very formalistic, saying we accept this, we deny that. It certainly raises some of the main cornerstones of a defense, such as this is not actual incitement to insurrection. And there is no jurisdiction over the president because he's no longer the president. But I think it was a bit of a missed opportunity to really shape the narrative. And so I hope they make up for it when it comes to actual oral presentations. I think one thing they should do is basically plagiarize Rand Paul's recent speech and talk about the hypocrisy of Democratic politicians sitting in judgment when they've made much more inflammatory comments. When you look at Chuck Schumer and Maxine Waters, I mean, there were comments there that were much more within the confines of incitement to criminal activity, at least, than anything the president said. And then I would also spend a lot of time on the lack of due process. I mean, he was impeached 7 days after the event. The investigation of what was called like the biggest crime scene in American history is still going forward. And there's still evidence being developed, such as that many of these people had pre-planned their acts of violence or their acts of breaking in a long time before President Trump ever walked up to a microphone. So there's an awful lot that I think I would lay out, partly to kind of sway Republicans and anyone who's fair-minded. This is just an unfair sham process, but also to create a record in case you do end up litigating this someday in a federal court.
So you've touched on some of the areas where you might put more emphasis, but having seen the 14-page defense presentation, what else would you recommend if you were sitting down with the defense team?
Well, I think you could be more robust in a lot of areas, frankly, including just addressing the lack of a crime here. But I think the one thing that really needed beefing up is this whole idea of due process. I think what they need to do is come into the chambers on Monday and lay out all of the bizarre differences in terms of ability to prepare in this impeachment compared to almost any other type of proceeding we'd see in this country. I mean, we're not getting witness statements. We've had an impeachment that took place a week after the event. There's an ongoing investigation. There are statements by people who participated in violence and from people who didn't that we should have access to. And essentially say, not in a position of weakness like we're not ready, but just say this is so ridiculously unfair to proceed to trial with no discovery, with no sort of process of knowing what's coming other than their recent trial brief. And I think at the very least, you expose, you create a record in case it ever goes to court about all the things that you were denied. But you also have the ability to essentially expose it as a bit of a kangaroo court. When they say, no, we're ready to go, and you've laid out a pretty compelling case for how there's no protections, no process of discovery, it's not a bad way to start the case, even if you have to keep moving from that point.
If this was in a traditional court, how long would you expect it to take from the event to when it actually came to trial?
Well, criminal cases and civil cases around the country can be different, but many months would be my first comment there. I mean, sometimes in some federal courts, they have what's called a rocket docket, where cases proceed within about 70 days from indictment. But most cases are on a much slower track, and it depends on the seriousness of the case. So this is, again, probably an all-time record for impeachment proceedings, and nowhere close to the types of lags you have between original charges and trials and most other types of cases.
You've got over 30 years of experience on both sides of the aisle in the courtroom, both as a prosecutor and as a defense attorney. If you were a judge and you were in a traditional court of law and this case were presented, would this be a fairly easy decision, or would it be a long, drawn-out trial?
I think some parts of it would be an easy decision. And again, that's because I kind of graft my experience as a litigator into what is maybe too much of a political exercise when it comes to impeachment. But, you know, for instance, the claims about due process, the fact that you're talking about really serious consequences to the country as well as President Trump by pursuing this thing on this expedited non-evidentiary track, I think a lot of judges would say this is just wrong to speed through without real clear evidence on the level that they're doing. And I also think that a judge would be able to look dispassionately, get past the videos of police officers being hurt, and say, I understand that there was criminal activity at the Capitol, but this is not incitement to insurrection. You know, again, if you view it from a statutory basis instead of a quasi-political one, you'd say the elements of the offense are not met here, and this case is over. So, yeah, I think it would be relatively easy. I think the hardest part is probably that question of jurisdiction over an ex-office holder, because it's uncharted territory. So you'd have to hear from both sides and make a tough call there. But I think the rest of it, in terms of the substance of the offense, would actually be relatively easy to decide. So I think all of this goes to the general point that in criminal cases and even in civil cases, you see procedure and process and constitutional protections. And frankly, whatever the ultimate result, it's having a consistent and protective process that respects the rights of the parties that guarantees the best result, or at least a result that we can believe in. And there's nothing approaching that kind of consistency or fairness in process here. And I think that's what makes it so utterly foreign to lawyers like myself, who are used to criminal prosecutions and some civil cases. When you see something like this, it just doesn't approach the type of fair procedures that we expect in our system.
Jim Trusty, partner at IFRA Law here in Washington. You can follow him on Twitter at Trusty Lawyer. Jim, thank you very much.
Sure. Thank you. Have a good weekend.
And you too. 7 o'clock news coming up. Then it's John Gizzi, Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer, Cheryl Atkinson, and KT McFarland.
I like a bed that's really firm.
I need something a little softer than that.
Rest easy. With the Sleep Number 360 smart bed, you can both adjust your comfort with your Sleep Number setting.
Can it really help me fall asleep faster?
Yes, by gently warming your feet.
Okay, but can it help keep us asleep?
It senses your movements and automatically adjusts to keep you effortlessly comfortable. Sleep Number, proven quality sleep is life-changing sleep. Don't miss our weekend special. Save 50% on the Sleep Number 360 limited edition smart bed. Plus special financing on all smart beds. Ends Monday. To learn more, go to sleepnumber.com. Special financing subject to credit approval. Minimum monthly payments required. See store for details.
WMAL-FM, Woodbridge, Washington. Now, more than ever, depend on 105.9 FM WMAL, a Cumulus station.